We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I'd never call off. Fourth quarter pressure. Back of the jersey, double sevens. No matter how many times, I never get tired of that reference. Hop Hall of Fame for dirt, we love you with a deep reverence.
Hi, this is Luka Doncic.
Hi, I'm Kyrie Irving.
And you're listening to the Mavs Step Back Podcast.
They waiting on my fall off. I'd never call off. Fourth quarter pressure. Back of the jersey, double sevens. No matter how many times, I never get tired of that reference. Hall of Fame for dirt, we love you with a deep reverence. Backcourt nasty, I wonder who gon' check him. Cuban did his thing when he went and got number 11. I still got his picture on my wall at 707. Feel synonymous with Kyrie, how we both train with aggression. Competition obsolete, trying to breathe life into my dreams. I'm so tired of sleep, still got some work from last season that was incomplete. So hungry for redemption. Thank my boys, that's my overeat. Like Luka with his three, if I'm hit, my mic is prone to overheat. I pride myself the most, I'm 22 and my folks proud of me. I took the hard away since I was 10, was no surprise to me. A step back, Mavs blowing up, was no surprise to me. And I'm speaking honestly. Seven.
All right, everybody, welcome in to another episode of the Mavs Step Back Podcast. I'm your host, Dalton Trigg. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Drew Johnson. You can find both of us on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Dalton_Trigg and at CoachDrew33. Guys, please be sure to go like, rate, and subscribe on all your favorite podcast platforms. Hit that subscribe button on YouTube. We just crossed the 22,000 mark on our YouTube channel subscribers today. So appreciate all of you guys. Be sure to keep it rolling. Leave your comments on our videos. You know, if you have anything you want to discuss, just let us know. We're always down to hear from you. We want to hear from you. And leave us some reviews on Apple Podcasts to enter yourself for a chance to win future giveaways. Guys, what a game two for the Mavs after a very disappointing game one. And honestly, we talked about it. It was really just a disappointing first half in game one where the Mavs just couldn't get anything to go offensively. They come back in game two. They came out with a more of a sense of urgency. They played amazing defense. They had a 23-19 lead after the first quarter. Continued playing amazing defense. They have played outstanding defense for five consecutive quarters now against the Clippers. And, you know, they were up 45-41 at halftime, came out of halftime. They were losing by one going into the fourth. They fell down by, I believe, six at one point in that fourth quarter. And just when you thought things were slipping away, Luka happened, Kyrie Irving happened. We were talking about it. You know, the Mavs needed that next person to step up for them. You know, they needed to have at least one person step up, and they got a huge contribution from P.J. Washington in the fourth quarter. He ended up with 18 points. Well, first of all, Luka had 32 points, 6 rebounds, 9 assists. His second consecutive game of shooting 11 of 26 from the field. I know last pod I said he's definitely not going to do that two games in a row, and he did. But, you know, he still had a great close to this game. Kyrie Irving had 23 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and 3 steals. He was active. His hands were active. But P.J. Washington was the difference in this game, in my opinion, DJ. 18 points, 5 of 10 overall, hit 3 of his 4 threes, 2 of them huge corner threes in the fourth quarter, and also had 6 rebounds, a steal, and 2 blocks in 35 minutes, while also just playing incredible defense on everybody he comes in contact with that doesn't show up in the box score. So all that to say, the Mavs outlasted the Clippers and won 96-93. Just stellar defense and just enough offense to tie this series at 1-1 as the series swings back to Dallas for game 3 on Friday. What are your initial thoughts on what the Mavs did tonight?
I thought the effort and the energy was much better. And that was evident from the get-go. I really felt like we kind of set the tone early, and that ended up being a major difference maker, I think, especially whenever you go back and you look at the last game, whenever we couldn't get anything going and our body language was terrible and, you know, all that jazz. And, you know, when you're able to start off games competitively, you're able to stay competitive in games throughout the duration of competition. So I know these are all these things that I'm saying are, you know, duh, but it needs to be said. And I was very happy to see like what you said, a sense of urgency. You know, there are a lot of positives we can really pick on. Number one, I thought that Luka was really good down the stretch. I know that his percentages weren't that great today, but he wasn't shooting the ball very well at the very beginning of this game. But he found other ways to contribute, most notably getting his teammates involved. And honestly, I thought the guy played outstanding defense today.
He did.
I thought he did a really good job on that end of the floor.
He did.
Kyrie Irving, like you said,
he has a steal and a block in the box score, and I feel like that's shortchanged. I thought he got 2 blocks for sure, and then, you know, he deflected a lot of passes. But, yes, you're right. He was incredible defensively.
A lot of deflections and a lot of, you know, just sliding into position. He may not have gotten the turnover, so to speak, but he helped cause it. And, you know, those are just things that do not show up in the box score or in stats or anything like that. But if you watched the game, you knew that Luka Doncic had an outstanding impact on this game defensively. Kyrie Irving, like you said, was extremely active on the defensive end. And I really think that those two kind of set the tone for the rest of their team. P.J. Washington, you know, he's billed as a defensive stopper. The guy was made to play defense. And he did just that today. He did an outstanding job. Now, some things that probably need to be improved upon is, you know, we would sometimes get a little out of control, I felt like. Our pace would become frantic, and at times we would forget our identity. And whenever we would do that, you know, I felt, honestly, at times we had a 50-50 shot of either turning the ball over or doing something positive. And I felt like a lot of our turnovers were because we were playing at a speed that we were not used to playing at, that we should not be playing at. So one thing that I would really like to see in the next game as far as adjustments are concerned is remember your offensive identity and remember the pace that you are successful at playing at. Because whenever we do settle things down, we're very difficult to stop in the half court.
Absolutely. And look, the Mavs are one of those teams that took a big jump overall in their pace based on what they did last year to this season. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's a difference between pushing it in transition and then just being completely chaotic with the ball. And, you know, that's what you're referring to and what we saw on a handful of occasions tonight where the Mavs just tried to push it a little too hard. And it backfired on them and ended up in a turnover when it should have probably ended up being a, you know, an easy possession to get you a couple points. So That's what's encouraging for me as this series shifts back to Dallas. Not only did you steal home court, not only did you win a game on the road early in the series, but you did so while still not playing your best basketball offensively as a team overall. You know, they had some great offensive moments, but overall as a team, they can do much better. And we have yet to see, you know, Daniel Gafford show up in this series. I don't know if the moment is just too big for him. Or, you know, he did have a back end. Now, look, to be completely fair, he sprung his ankle in the first game and only played 14 minutes. He had to leave game two with a back injury, and he was questionable to come back in this game. And, you know, he only played 9 minutes and was 0-3, only one rebound, no points. So he's had a rough go of things, not just with it, you know, being a new experience as a Mavs player in the playoffs, you know, on the road. The lights are bright, really bright. But he's also had some unlucky breaks with, you know, his ankle and his back. And it's kind of, you know, you can tell it's kind of affected his play a little bit. But on the bright side, Derek Lively had a nice bounce back game off the bench. You know, he had 7 points, 9 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, played some great defense on Zubac, in my opinion. You know, Zubac in this game was only 5 of 12. So, you know, he got bothered a little bit in this one. And Lively did all that in 21 minutes while being a +4. While, you know, last game he was a team worst, negative 19. So, shout out to Lively. He bounced back. And he was the Mavs' best big man in this game, in my opinion. Maxi Kleber hit a couple of huge threes in this game. Got a huge rebound there at the end, you know, where the Mavs were up 4. Kyrie Irving uncharacteristically missed a free throw with like 10 seconds left or something like that. And Maxi Kleber ran and fought for the rebound and got it. And, you know, that created a situation where the Mavs went up by 6. And, you know, there were a lot of – we talked about Derrick Jones Jr. We talked about how he had to give us just something in game 2. It didn't have to be a lot, but it didn't need to be a goose egg. and he came out and scored 10 points, had 7 rebounds. Let's see here. He had – it says he only has 1 block, but I feel, again, like there were so many deflections in this game. Hands were so active on both sides. I feel like, you know, the stats really don't do it justice for how good of defense the Mavs played, especially P.J. Washington and Derrick Jones Jr. But overall, great game for the Mavs. It's good to, you know, have a all-even series going back home for 2 games. You got an extra day off. They don't have to play until Friday night. And you still haven't played your best basketball. So, overall, I feel like the Mavs are in a pretty good position going into game 3. Now, before we get into some other stuff from game 2, I do want to tell everybody about Prize Picks, the number one daily fantasy sports app. If you want to maximize your deposit on Prize Picks, if you love daily fantasy sports and want to test your basketball knowledge, download the Prize Picks app and use our code STEPBACK to get up to $100 matched on your first deposit. For example, if you want to put the full $100 in your account and use our code, you'll have $200 in there to play around with. So, be sure to go do that. If you have some strong feelings about what the Mavs are going to do in game 3 on Friday, get that Prize Picks app and, you know, put that basketball knowledge, that Mavs knowledge to the test, you know, what you think Luka, Kyrie, and the rest of the guys are going to do. But again, that's code STEPBACK to get up to $100 off your first deposit. DJ, we're going to talk about the Clippers side of things now here for a little bit. You know, last game they shot 50% from 3. We talked about it on the last set. We didn't think that was going to be the same. You know, you're not going to shoot 50% from 3 in 2 consecutive playoff games. I'm sorry. I don't care if you're playing at home or not. That's just not going to happen. And sure enough, law of averages played a factor in this game. They only shot 26.7% from three. So
I think a lot of that had to do with us actually getting out on shooters. We did a really good job closing out.
I agree with that.
We did an excellent job as far as recovering and rotating in those one more pass situations. Yeah, some people got open looks, but it was the people that I didn't really feel too terrible about allowing those shots. For instance, I think Russell Westbrook got a couple. He made one, you know, whatever. If you're going to give up something to Russell Westbrook, it's definitely the three. But overall, I thought we did an awesome job running them off the three-point line, specifically early in the game. I thought we did a really good job of it.
Yeah, I agree with that. The defense all around, you know, in the paint, on the perimeter, you know, going for loose balls, all that stuff has been just on point for the Mavs. There's a great attention to detail, and that's something else you have to kind of tip your hat to Jason Kidd on. He had them prepared coming into this game, which was, you know, not the case for the first half of game one. So another thing for Kidd, and we still got a couple Clippers things to talk about, but another thing for Jason Kidd, arguably the biggest moment in this game, the Mavs are up five with about 22 seconds left or something, you know, around 22, 21 seconds left. Clippers take a timeout. They get the ball to Kawhi Leonard. You know, I don't know what happened with Kyrie Irving, but he lost track of Kawhi Leonard somehow. And let Kawhi get behind him, and Kawhi went in for a layup, and Irving got called for the foul. And at first glance, it looked like it was just a silly foul for Kyrie. And we were thinking, like, what are you doing, dude? But Jason Kidd saw something else, and he challenged that call. Now, the bucket by Kawhi still counted, but instead of getting a free throw attempt on the replay, it showed Kyrie got ball first and shouldn't have been called for the foul. So the call got overturned. It was a huge challenge for J. Kidd. No free throw for Kawhi Leonard, and the Mavs got the ball back up three instead of potentially up two. And to me, that was the biggest moment of the game. And I got to give credit to Kidd, man. I mean, there are times where he drives us nuts because he will not take a timeout to save his life.
Didn't this game either, but, you know, whatever. All's well that ends well. But I don't know what the hell he saw, because I sure as hell didn't see it. I thought for sure that Kyrie fouled. I thought that I saw him hit Kawhi Leonard's elbow. I really did think I saw that in the replay. And I was like, shit, you know, that's the call. And then whenever they overturned it, I was like, what's going on? But, you know,
you could see it, you know, on the slow motion zoomed in. Yeah. You can see Kyrie's hand just barely graze the ball, you know, before it was actual foul. So, look, shout out to Ken and the coaches. You know, they have people sitting behind the bench.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, the assistant coaches that look at that stuff as soon as possible when the replays happen, and they can tell, like, hey, yeah, we should probably challenge this or not. So I'm sure he got an assist from behind the bench on, you know, challenging that. But given that situation, even if he had lost it, I mean, you still had a couple of timeouts anyway, and, you know, it was coming down to the wire. But huge moment in the game. Kyrie Irving ended up, you know, icing it with some free throws. You had that big rebound by Maxey that got Kyrie two more free throws. Luka hit some ballsy shots in that fourth quarter and just yapping at the Clippers crowd, just like how nobody else can. You know, Luka just loves disappointing a full crowd of away fans, and especially Clippers and Suns fans.
Especially the Clippers. He hates the Clippers. He's always been the Clippers. Since that bitch-ass white boy comment, he hates the Clippers.
Yeah, all the way back to the old school Clipper days. Yeah. So anytime Luka sees Phoenix or the Clippers, you know, that you know he's going to be talking to those crowds. But swinging it back to the Clipper side. So Kawhi Leonard, he didn't play in game one. He made his return for game two. And he was rusty. I mean, he wasn't the superstar in my – well, he did have some superstar plays, but he wasn't like peak Kawhi. You could tell he was probably at about 80%, 85%, you know, not all the way. But, you know, he was still 7 of 17 from the field, 0 of 5 from 3, but he had 15 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, and 4 steals. He was
really good defensively today. Man. He was super disruptive. And you could tell from the get-go, I mean, I'm pretty sure he took it away from Kyrie Irving like within the first 2 or 3 minutes of the game. It was down there at one of the corners. Kyrie got into trouble back, and someone, I think it might have been Kawhi, was trying to back Kawhi down.
Yeah.
A lot of
yeah, he attacked him head on, and that wasn't a good idea.
I don't know about all that, but he figured it out real quick. You can't do that against Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
But he was outstanding defensively. But you're right, offensively, he left something to be desired. And
Well, look. I mean, you talked about this too when I talked about law of averages for the Clippers and their shooting. But I mean, yeah, I'm sure Kawhi is rusty, not having played a game in 3 weeks. But I think we again have to give the Mavs defense and specifically PJ Washington some credit on getting into him. Like he really made Kawhi work for everything. And I think that made a big difference in this game. Now, I don't know what having a couple extra days off until Friday's game, going to Dallas, I don't know if Kawhi is going to look more like the guy that just destroyed the Mavs in the last two playoff series they played against him. But all I know is that the Mavs are playing him as well as they possibly can. And I think PJ Washington is proving that he is a top-tier perimeter defender in this league, and you know he can play some defense down low too if needed. So
yeah,
I mean I think Kawhi can be better, but I think the Mavs have done a good job overall no matter who they're guarding, and I'm confident about this team going into games 3 and 4 with a chance to really put a stranglehold on this series. So I mean, what are you looking for adjustment wise going into game 3
from the Mavericks? The adjustment of pace, first of all. I mean, I know I touched on that earlier, but we have to understand who we are and what benefits us best. So that's really my main one. The number two, it'd be nice to hit some free throws. If we could be in the green on that, I mean, we would have been up the whole game and it would have been a double-digit lead for a lot of the game had we made our free throws. So – and, you know, there's some player adjustments, I think, as well. I think that some people need to not be so, what's the word, thrown off by the bright lights of the playoffs. I know we've got a really young group, a really inexperienced group that has never been here. But if you want to win at this level, you can't let your nerves get to you. And I think that PJ, I think we actually watched PJ grow up right before our eyes. Over the course of the game, because there was several points of emphasis in that game where things kind of fell apart for him. And it was mental lapses and mental mistakes. And he got it together. But you see that same sort of issue with other players on the team as well. And that just can't happen if you want to win at this level.
And what's funny, and I don't want to take credit for this, but it was so funny that it turned out the way it did. So when the Mavs were down 6 in the fourth quarter and it felt like things were slipping away, I tweeted out, Mavs players not named Luka Doncic or Kyrie Irving aren't ready for the moment. And that's incredibly disappointing given how the team ended the regular season. And then I thought about it for a second, and I immediately replied to my own tweet, and I said, watch the Mavs win game 2, and my replies get flooded with, well, this aged like milk.
It did.
Sure enough.
It 100% did.
So you're welcome, Mavs.
Yeah, thanks. You get to eat your words. We get a win, and you get to eat your words.
That's the best self-eating words ever. Love it. Yeah. But you're right. We watched PJ grow up in real time in this game. And there were a couple times where he just, you know, he wasn't ready to shoot. Or there was a moment where, you know, Kyrie had the ball in transition, set him up great. Like, just put the ball on a platter for him right at the rim. And I don't know what PJ was thinking, but it just, he fumbled it off.
It was a lob right at the rim. And
it was, and it wasn't like anybody was contesting it either. It was just a mental lapse. But
yeah,
I'm so happy for him that he turned it around and had the big fourth quarter that he did, because, you know, that's the kind of stuff the Mavs are going to need if they're going to make a deep playoff run, especially in the Western Conference, because, you know, it's just a bloodbath.
Yeah.
But to get to the NBA Finals, you potentially are going to have to beat the Clippers, probably the Oklahoma City Thunder, who are inexperienced but very good. The Denver Nuggets most likely in the Western Conference Finals. And then after you get through that Western Conference gauntlet, guess what your prize probably is? It's probably the Boston Celtics. But that's what makes it so great. We've seen Dirk do a lot more damage than that with the lineup he went through to get to his 2011 championship. So it's possible. But great stuff overall from the Mavs. My biggest thing I'm looking for going into game 3 is the efficiency from Luka. I feel like it will eventually get better. I mean, I know I said this last game and he came out and shot the exact same percentage in game 2, but I just don't think he's going to continue to shoot 11 of 26. Like, I don't think it's going to happen. He's eventually going to have one of those supernova, you know, shoot way over 50% type of games. And when that happens, the Mavs are probably going to win a game comfortably when he starts shooting it that way. And it's going to open up things for everybody else too, because the Clippers aren't going to know what to do with him. So I don't know if that's going to be in game 3 or game 4, but I feel like it's coming. I feel like we have a very efficient Luka game, you know, getting ready to happen at some point in the near future.
Well, let me ask you this. What were his percentages in the second half? Because I think you already might be partly – I think you might already be partly right, because the Luka that we saw in the second half was different in terms of efficiency than the Luka in the first half, just in terms of making shots.
Let's see. The second half – well, see, the second half he was only 42%, 5 of 12. Let's just go to the fourth quarter – specifically, fourth quarter, he was 2 of 4, so he was 50%. Hit 2 threes, missed a 3, and missed the only shot he had inside. So, I mean, he was better. I mean, he had some big shots mixed in there, but just the overall efficiency just wasn't, you know, where you would hope it is for him, especially starting games.
Right, but it's trending upward. It's trending upward. and we're heading home. He's poised for a big game, and I think it'll probably be the next one. I hope I don't jinx him, but that's what I think.
Stealing home, and look, I we talked about it. You know, this series wouldn't have been over if the Mavs had lost game two.
No.
Because home court matters a ton in the postseason. But, you know, you got to, when you're the lower seed, you got to eventually win a game on the road if you're going to win the series. And I feel a whole lot better about the Mavs doing that early in the series than having to do it, you know, later on in a game five or even potentially a game seven. Now, you give yourself a chance to end the series before it even gets to that point. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. I'm super excited. I think Kyrie Irving could have played a better game today. You know, he was active defensively with his hands and everything. He had some big shots, you know, in the second half.
Big breakdowns though at the very end. That one at the very end where he lost Kawhi on that back cut. That again, when it's attention to detail and a sense of urgency the whole way through, that just can't happen. And there's no excuse for him. This guy's been at the highest level. Yeah, all right.
I agree.
That just can't happen.
And I'm sure he knows that too.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure he knows that very well. You know, I'm sure that's being put into his head, you know, as we go into this next game. But overall, it's been a great start to the series. You always want to at least get one. You know what they say, a playoff series doesn't officially start until a road team wins. So the Mavs finally get on the board, series tied at one, and we have got a fun one going on as this thing shifts back to Dallas. And I can't wait to talk about it again. You know, these playoff recaps, you know, it's just there's so much heightened importance, and, you know, the juices are flowing and everything. It's just a lot more exciting to have playoff basketball to talk about versus what happened last season when we were off to Cancun early and
and talking about the draft and talking about a pick that we may not even have.
Right. Yeah. I'm so glad we don't have to worry about the draft lottery or the draft this year, and that the Mavs are in this situation they're in. So
the draft sucks this year anyway. So.
If they can figure out how to get Gafford going, like I don't know if he's, again, you know, he's battling some injury stuff and, you know, maybe he's in his head a little bit, but if he can figure it out, I think the Mavs will really, you know, have something. The fact that they're 1-1 and he is they're 1-1 in the series and he has essentially not added anything to this series yet, I think bodes well for the future of this series, because I think eventually he's got to have a decent game, right?
Well, he's got to get healthy. I think that back injury, just by the looks of it, is nasty. I hope it's not as bad as I think it is, but by the way he was acting about it, back injuries
hard.
Yeah, I mean, it impacts so much. It impacts how well you can move, all the way to, you know, just general function of your limbs. So it's just, I hope that he's not as injured as it appeared to be. But I also think that you're right. I also think that he might be in his own head a little bit. But what he has to understand is, you know, he can't do anything about what's already happened. He can only move forward. Yeah. And, you know, hopefully, I mean, he's been here before, or not here, but he's been in the league for a little while, yeah. Right? He's been a professional athlete for a little while. He understands the concept of pushing through both mental and physical issues. So, you know, hopefully that he's able to do just that.
Well, and one thing I want to see from both him and Lively and Maxi, you know, whoever the big man is in the lineups here, you know, the Clippers are taking away the lob. So yep. They're taking that away. So if the bigs are getting it in the paint, it's off of a bounce pass. Mm-hmm. And all of them need to be ready for the help defender the Clippers are sending, you know, that swatting in there and hitting the ball loose. And that's happened so many times. And, you know, the rest of the guys, they need to have the big men ready for that. Like, hey, you're going to get the ball in the paint, but when you go to turn, you need to hold on to the ball strong, because that defender is coming across and they're going to try to rake that ball out of there.
There were several times that happened to Lively. They need to understand they need to keep that ball high. They need to chin it, and they need to bow out. But what's unfortunate is, like you said, they're taking away the lob, and our post players mostly score off dump offs from guards. And so everything that they're getting, if it's a dump off, it's going to be at their feet. So they're catching it low already. Yep. And so that gives their smaller guards the ability to knock it away potentially because it's at eye level. I would really like to see some post-up opportunities, maybe see what Lively can do with his back to the basket, maybe see what Gafford can do with his back to the basket. I know that Kleber is going to mostly look for turnaround jumpers, but that's neither here nor there. But, you know, again, those two guys really aren't back to the basket post players. They're mostly lob threat, rim running, glass eaters. So I don't know. I would like to see what that looks like. But you're right. You're not going to get any lobs because they are absolutely taking that away.
Yeah. Which translates into, can the Mavs hit their threes if they're going to take away, you know, the paint like that? And, you know, after shooting 30% in game one, they shot nearly 43% in game two. They hit 14 of the 33 threes. Makes a huge difference. You know, they still, their overall percentage wasn't great still. It was only 42%, but you know, to shoot 43% from three is a huge improvement. So we'll see if that can carry over into game three, because again, I don't think we have seen the best basketball from the Mavs yet, even though they have played some amazing defense for the last five consecutive quarters. DJ, appreciate you joining me. To all of you listening, appreciate y'all coming in and listening to us ramble well past midnight Central Time. We are burning the midnight oil, and work is going to be terrible tomorrow, but it's okay because it's always better when the Mavs have a big win that we get to cover, both in the podcast and in writing. So, guys, I appreciate it. Again, be sure to go like, rate, and subscribe on all your favorite podcast platforms. Hit that subscribe button on YouTube, and we appreciate it. Y'all keep hitting that subscribe button. Run us up.
Yes, sir.
Let's go get some bed, y'all.
1 a.m.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with seven best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.